This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 272 of the Countdown Podcast. Today we got some Trans-Tasman love on the show. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to, but not today. Today is all about a particular country that we have a very close relationship with.
That's right.
They live across a ditch.
Across a ditch.
And they have a 1/5 of our population. Mm-hmm. And I love their films. It turns out I'm very, very pleased with my list. We're talking the top 10 New Zealander films. But therefore, we couldn't do it by ourselves because listener and good friend of the show, Tara Holick, said, why don't you get Sam on?
That's right.
Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Sam is from New Zealand.
As you're about to hear, Sam, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, what is going on? And like, I don't mean that as in like, how are you guys? I mean, what the fuck is going on? 10 New Zealand films? What the hell is this shit? This was Paul. Like, what's next week? Like 10 Russian films from the 60s? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Well,
I reckon there were more films made in Russia in the 60s than there have been made out of New Zealand. That's probably...
Oh, easily. Easily. I had to finish New Zealand Temp's film yesterday so we could watch it before today.
You know what? I thought this was a deal between you and Paul to fuck on me, right? I thought you were going to be like, oh, but it turns out Sam's just as surprised. So, Paul, this is all on you and Tara.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
That's the soundboard. If you're new to the show, welcome. Wayne does talk to Wayne, and indeed, that's other sounds
bullshit.
Get played quite regularly.
No
Wayne
understands it really. It's ass.
But, Sam, all right, look, let's throw it over to you. First of all, tell our listeners about Movie Reviews and 20 Qs. I'm sure they've all heard the show. If they listen to us, they listen to you. But just in case they don't, tell us that. And then tell us why New Zealand cinema is great.
Oh, excellent. Movie Reviews and 20 Qs does exactly what it says on the tin. We take a movie and we ask 20 questions about it. And we just try to run the gamut from funny to bizarre to deep and poignant sort of thing. Yeah, we just try to have a bit of fun with it. And then New Zealand cinema is New Zealand cinema. That's the best way I've got to describe it. It's New Zealand cinema. That's made in New Zealand. I'm gonna sound a little bit rough on my own countrymen here, but I've never been that big a fan of New Zealand cinema. You know, I've checked out all the great ones and all that sort of stuff, but I've never been that much invested as I have been over the last couple of weeks catching up on some of these movies. Yeah.
There's a little bit of that going on here as well. Like, some people are snobby against Aussie films in Australia. Like, it happens.
And when we say some people, we mean one half of this podcast.
Don't fuck it. I was not referring to myself, so you can fuck off.
But truth.
No. Well, here's the thing. This is purely a numbers game, okay? So New Zealand, what, less than 5 million people?
5 million, on the nose.
Just 5 million. In the last couple of months, we've hit 5 million.
There you go. So, and Australia's 25 million, but like, I was born in Singapore, which is only slightly over 5 million, and you don't see us doing a top 10 Singaporean films countdown. You know what I mean? So
I'm happy to give it a bash.
Fuck off, man.
Yes, next
week. What are you talking about? No one think of us and made a move. If anyone's from Singapore, I'm fucked. I'm listening from Singapore, I'm fucked.
Well, there are 5 million people from Singapore, apparently.
No, but like, if anyone's listening, I'm pretty sure they're not, though. But as a result, you got very
crazy rich Asians.
Yeah, obviously the cinema, the pickings
actually,
are smaller, right?
The pickings exactly smaller. So this is a harder list to do.
Yeah,
but maybe it'll be a nice learning experience for folks.
I don't know about you, but I watched a few. Maybe not as many as Sam. Watched a few, particularly the last 24 hours. Watched a few New Zealander films.
I watched a cunt load.
Which is an official
That's
number.
A lot. That's right.
Depends how big that. See? Anyway, yes, we're going to find out in very short order. That's the brief. The top 10 New Zealand films. Have a New Zealander on. Let's see what we come up with. How different is it going to be, the three lists? We'll find out in very short order. But I'm bringing it back at the start of the show just because it makes no sense to have it at the end because it's so short. We're doing the recount.
Okay.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount is where we talk about shit y'all sent in with us. Paul?
Well, this week, no one sent much of anything, because apparently top 10 underdog films from last week, no one was that incensed or upset by, except in the thread, which we always have, the poll for who wins the week's voting.
Right.
Now, votes were down. Now, I don't know if that's a vote. In fact, a couple of people did actually say, I'm not voting this week because I disagree with X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. I added a poll option this week that said this poll should be open because listeners do love to...
I was wondering if you did that.
Yeah, I did it on purpose. And that garnered 19 votes. which was equal with me on 19 votes. It was close this week, but in the end, you have triumphed, Wayne, with 24 votes, bringing the year 8-7, so a 5-win vote win to you, which is approximately your exact voting block that you have, which after this week, Nicole Presley pretty much admitted she votes for you every week, regardless of whether her reasoning is my list should win. So thank you, Nicole.
I heard someone say the same thing about you, so you can keep eat my ass.
My brother and my fiance. That's it.
Nope, there's another cracker who I did not know, and I will find his name and throw him out.
Find his name, you can throw it out.
He said, I'm a Paul Shill at this stage or something like that. Mark.
In that case, it's a net gain of 3.
That's sorry if I don't know your name, the person who did that, but you totally speak up again.
Therefore, it doesn't count.
No, fuck you. And thank you, Nicole.
Mike Marbo-Dosing did vote for me because I had Major League up much higher. And John Schlander said going with Paul for glory, but the movie Chatter podcast said you had me at Limitless. Now, Limitless was your big controversial choice last week. Is Limitless an underdog film, Sam?
No.
What? Why? Why not? Why? Because he's good looking. I understand.
Do you know?
No, I do. I just... Yeah, man, he was nothing, and then he turned to something because of drugs.
Well, ask Sam. Sam said no.
No?
No.
He was too cool to start with? Is that what you're thinking? So he wasn't an underdog? Is that what you're saying? Or did he not
rise? I hate Bradley Cooper, so I'm just going with no.
Oh, you hate Bradley Cooper? Oh, I understand.
Okay, I'm not a Bradley Cooper fan. I've got no explanation. Yeah.
Biased opinion there, but fair enough. Glenn Sutherland said, neither of you deserve my votes for including Scott Pilgrim.
What's that about?
But Wayne's Great Escape was a winner.
My man.
So there you are. There's one there for you. And Billy Dunham? B-Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast said Wayne gets it for Great Escape and also for not including Rocky, which sucks.
Oh!
Controversial opinion.
Holy shit, Sam. What do you think about B-Dizzle's opinion on films at this moment in time?
I'm not going to take advice from a guy that loves Tommy Boy and John Carter and Reindeer Games on what's a good film or not.
Reindeer Games! Sorry, if I can't remember
that. Fucked. That's what I'm saying.
So there we are. Well done, Wayne. You've won. You've brought it back 8-7 now. My lead by 1.
And okay.
That's all the recount for this week. Let's get into the episode proper on the other side of this New Zealander Music Cue. The top 10 New Zealander films.
Was that your New Zealander accent?
Okay. I resisted the temptation to say choice or bro in this. So.
Okay, well then it's not it.
Sweet as.
Sweet as.
Sweet as, bro.
Pretty straightforward, the parameters. There's no more need to discuss it from that. I'm going to leave Wayne till last.
Okay.
Let's go with our guest, Sam, first. With the, I think this is the list that you're going to trust, let's be honest here.
Yes, absolutely.
Sam, what's your number 10 film from your country?
Well, I will give a bit of a disclaimer before I do this. So what I've done is I've actually done 10 New Zealand films. So I've done 10 films that are directed, by New Zealanders. Well, I think most of them are anyway. They're set in New Zealand. They tell a New Zealand story. And to limit myself as well, I've actually done one film from some of the major names. So, for instance, there's a major name that directed a Marvel movie.
Holy shit.
There's a major name that directed a very famous trilogy, or actually two famous trilogies, but we don't talk about the second one. I've limited it myself to one film from each of those guys and made sure that they are Kiwi films.
In that case, well done, sir, because I didn't limit myself in that way regarding director. I certainly did.
You can't, man.
I did limit myself, though. Films had to be made by a New Zealander. They had to have a largely New Zealand production company or whatever.
Yeah, mine was production.
There might have been some money, US money or whatever, injected into it. That's fine.
Yeah. Either produced or co-produced by a New Zealand company. That's
written
mine.
And directed, generally speaking, by New Zealanders, then it counts. Right. So some of our feedback from the listeners was, this film. Yeah, it was shot in New Zealand, but it's not a New Zealand film.
Okay. I'll be interested to see how this goes because I've gone strict with myself because that was it. Yeah.
Sounds like we're all on the same page. All right, Sam, thank you for that. Lead us away. You're number 10.
All right, very proud of you guys, and I'm going to be interested to see what crossovers we have. Yeah. The first one I have is Out of the Blue. This is a 2006 film directed by Robert Sarkis, and I also tried chuckle a few notes in here so that people, sort of international listeners can try and find a link in it. And it stars Carl Urban.
Okay.
People know him as Bones in the most recent Star Trek film, or he was Judge Dredd in the Dredd film from 2013. And the film was basically based on the Arimoana massacre that occurred on the 13th of November in 1990, where a resident, David Gray, who was like a gun collector, lost his shit and went on a rampage and started murdering people. And it's based on a true story. It happened to us in 1990, and it was a very harrowing time for the country, and this film is just, it's amazing. It sort of like encapsulates exactly what happens, while at the same time, even though you know the story, you're still wondering what's going to happen next. It's just a really well shot film.
Does Carl Urban play like the dude, shooter? The shooter?
No, he plays like a police officer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's different from Hollywood movies in which, you know, the police officer shows up and he's a total badass and, you know, blows everyone away sort of thing. He's not like that at all. He's got like emotions and, you know, he's not very sure of himself and he's, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to spoil the film in case people want to watch this. But it's totally against the idea of a Hollywood clop sort of thing. Yeah.
Very nice, sir. All right. Well, I hope so/assume so because I will be seeking it out. My number 10 couldn't be any more different than that. It is... I'm going to be honest, the first film from Peter Jackson, but it won't be the last. I'm going with 1989's Meet the Feebles.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Tell us about this piece of
shit Happy Time Murders film from a couple of years back.
Okay, yes.
Which everyone shat on. Imagine it was done much better almost 30 years before and you have Meet the Feebles. Right? Because we don't bother with mixing in humans with this storyline. It's just Muppets
on
drugs.
Yeah.
Muppets having sex.
Fucking...
Muppets shooting each other and doing violence unto each other. So it was really taking our world and putting it on this puppet world and exaggerating it to the extreme. And it's so out there.
Dude, this movie is dark for me, man. I remember going to one of our art house cinemas when I was a youngster and seeing a trailer for the Meet the Feebles and there's animals coming and fucking having drugs. I was like, what the fuck is it? Because I was a kid. And I was like, this is really offensively like fucking confronting to me. So yeah. Meet the Feebles.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. All right, how about you? Yeah, that's good. That's interesting.
Sam, you've obviously seen every one of Peter Jackson's films.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Seen them all. And I mean, that's just what life was like in the 80s in New Zealand. So it's just it's what we got up to.
There were puppets everywhere. They were doing
think it's weird, try growing through it, man. It's fucking insane.
And if you want an indication, if you haven't seen the film or don't even know of it, or what it's really like, is here's the tagline on Letterboxd. Hell hath no fury like a hippo with a machine gun.
Yeah, there you are.
yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
All right,
my number 10 is, some people might have an issue with this, it's Jojo Rabbit.
Is it a New Zealander film, or is it made by a New Zealander?
It is produced by a New Zealander company, and I haven't got the name of it, but co-produced.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's
shot in New Zealand?
Yes, I believe there are parts of it that were. Look, I don't have that info here,
Let's go to the expert, Sam, New Zealander film?
What the bloody fuck? No? Is it not? Okay, I will give you this. Picky Films, which is Taika Waititi, and obviously we're going to mention him a few times, and Kehu Matthews Production Company that have produced most of Taika's films, except for Ragnarok. They did produce it, so...
Yes, yeah. So that's it. That's all that's it. Co-produced by a New Zealand company.
The
that's a New Zealand
opening
film.
Line of the... Of the Wikipedia page says Jojo Rabbit is a 2019 American comedy drama film.
But was it a New Zealand production company. It's fine. No?
A vote for Wayne is a vote for America.
I think
New Zealand.
I think Paul's a cunt. And also... Really? Do we not think that? Because maybe I've got some issues here. A lot of my movies are like that. But they're they're not Hollywood movies, though. This isn't a Hollywood movie, in my opinion.
I knew what I was signing up for when I came on this podcast.
There are four production companies: Fox Searchlight Pictures, TSG Entertainment, Defender Films, and Picky Films. So
co-produced by a New Zealand company,
distributed by Fox. Yeah,
terrible choice. All right, well, fine.
It's a fine film. It's a fine film. We talked about it very recently on on the Patreon review.
I think it's just fine. Yeah.
Jeez, there you are.
Okay, well, interesting start for me there.
This is going to go downhill real fast.
Yes, it will. Okay, well, let's go back to Paul then.
Sam.
Okay, my number 9, and I hope this pops up on Paul's list because I know he's as much of a fan of horror as I am. I am going with 2014's horror comedy Housebound.
Oh, what's that?
Ooh.
What is Housebound?
So Housebound is a horror comedy, which is more of a thriller than a horror. Yeah, so basically this girl gets busted for trying to steal an ATM with her partner in one of the most like ridiculous manners
as you
possible.
Do.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it. And then basically she gets 8 months of home detention. And then while staying at home, it's quickly discovered that something sinister is going on, has gone on, or will go on. I don't want to spoil the film for anyone that's going to watch it. But it's definitely, you know, got its foot in the horror camp. It's definitely got its foot in the comedy camp with an incredibly racist mother in it. But it's just a very well shot, very well put together New Zealand film. Yeah,
I think I watched this movie in the wrong state of mind.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I've seen it. And I'd read so many great things about it and heard it was so hilarious, the best film. And it's mentioned quite a few times in the listener feedback as well, even if it's not the ones that I did manage to pick out for later. But I watched it and went, what is this? If I hadn't heard it was going to be great, I probably would have thought, yeah, that's good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
So I don't know. Is it a really good representation of New Zealand, Sam? Does it have that charm going for it in that way?
I think it's just because most of our films don't usually go for it like this does, sort of thing. Like, at least it tries to do something new and different. It has a very like crazy sort of convoluted story, especially towards the end, that it's just like, it's just one of those things. It's just, yeah, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like it actually ticks more boxes than normal, sort of thing. So I guess that's why I've got such an appreciation for it. Yeah.
All right, well then, thank you very much for that one. I might have to revisit it. Like I said, I think I watched it in the wrong state of mind. If I just went in with no expectations, maybe I'll have a different experience. My number nine is another Peter Jackson film.
Yeah, that's how this is going to go. It's going to go, take a Peter. All right?
No, I do have some...
Yeah, and then like Lee.
A couple of exceptions. My number nine...
Mr. P. Jackson.
I did come very close to replacing this one in the list with a film that I watched over the weekend. We'll talk about it in honorable mentions, although actually Wayne's going to talk about it beforehand. My number nine is Peter Jackson's first film. It's a film he made with his mates over weekends. Does that sound familiar, Wayne?
A little bit, yes.
In 1987, it's called Bad Taste.
All right, what's this? I saw it pop up in the notes, but I have not seen it.
Obviously. Bad Taste it's about an alien invasion and a bunch of mates who get caught up in that. It's a gore film, basically, with some really
big
horrendous humor, which at the time, you know, it was a revelation to like 18-year-old me. Like, look at this film, and how can someone make this and get away with it? And like,
this is the start of the problem.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or at least
right
it exaggerated it. Let's put it that way.
Now we know.
But for a first-time director to produce something like this with no money and the effects that they put together and the like, it's a revelation. He's in it. He's in a big role in it, as you do when you are making a film.
Yes.
What's one easy way of doing it? I'll cast myself in a role. Absolutely. But yeah, I wouldn't recognize anybody else from it, but it's such fun and gross. Let's be very, very clear about that.
I know this guy's work.
Yeah, Sam, you've obviously seen Bad Taste.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just an amazing piece of like low budget guerrilla filmmaking in a lot of ways. And you know, to like get so many things right on your first film is not often very well replicated in Hollywood. So I mean, yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's not my Peter Jackson film I've got on my list, but it's very
well. If you limited yourself to one,
yeah, we all know.
Well, we don't know.
No, we don't geez, know.
Very strong contenders. Let's put it that way.
Good point.
Yes.
All right, Wayne, you're nine.
My number nine is Foot Rot Flats. The dog's there. Let me tell you something up with this, folks, especially you American listeners. Foot Rot Flats is a cartoon that was actually literally a comic that was popular here, and it's a New Zealand comic, and then they turned it into a movie, and there was a lot of stuff going on. It was the first movie I saw out with my friends in the movies in 1980, motherfucking sake.
So some nostalgia. So it's animated. And you should mention it's animated, did you?
Animated, sorry, yes, it's a cartoon, right? So, and it's got pretty much no one you really know in it. However, it does have this awesome soundtrack, which I'm hoping Paul played.
I've already played the opening track.
Slice of Heaven is like one of the best fucking songs ever, okay? Yeah. Very popular in Australia and in New Zealand, obviously, as a New Zealand artist.
Can you give us a bar?
I can give you a bar, like the opening. Ready? It goes like this. That's how it kind of goes. But of course, you've already heard that. I'm not sure what woodwind instrument they're using to make that sound, but that's
what
how
it sound
sounds.
Is it again?
I don't fucking know. Fuck you, cunt. You're leaving all that in, aren't you, you piece of shit? Fuck you. Anyway, you should totally check that song out. But you've heard two of the best versions of it, right? Already, so
check the song out. Don't worry about the movie. Is that what you're saying?
No, I love the movie, but you know, I didn't even know it was set in New Zealand when I saw it. I thought it was set in Australia because I'm brown and all you people are white, and I don't know what the fuck you talk about. Right? So there you go.
We all sound the same.
Damn. All right. There you are, Sam. Follow up from that with your number 8.
Yeah, I mean, Fuller Flats, the only comment is like, it was a product of its time. It's probably New Zealand's
absolutely
only animated
film. I haven't seen it since fucking 86. So, yeah.
I rewatched it for this and it didn't make my list. I'll put it that way. My number 8. My number 8 is it's pretty much the film that sort of got us into like conversations about Oscars and certainly paved the way for Peter Jackson to do his thing a couple, almost 10 years later. It's 1993's film The Piano, directed by Jane Campion and starring Sam Neill, Harvey Keitel and Holly Hunter. And basically, if you haven't seen it, it's set in the mid-19th century and a mute woman is sold to a New Zealand logger, basically, by her father. So she's a Scottish woman that her and her young daughter are sent out to New Zealand for an arranged marriage and basically goes along with her piano, but she's lusted after by a local worker on the plantation who's played by Harvey Keitel. And yeah, full dong from Harvey Keitel.
I was wondering whether or not you would also emphasize that it starred Harvey Keitel's penis.
Now, is this the dick shot? Is this a dick movie or is Bad Lieutenant also a dick movie?
Both.
His dick is just everywhere.
He's got a lot of dick movies. I think he's the actor of the most dick movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's obviously very secure with himself. Good man. Well done.
Yeah, that should be an Oscar category.
I watched this film a long time ago. Probably too young to really appreciate it, but yeah, it's a classic. Did it win Academy Awards? I have some vague recollection that it did.
Campion obviously didn't win director, but I think she won for best original screenplay or adapted screenplay. And I'm pretty sure Holly Hunter won. And then Anna Paquin became the youngest actress to win supporting actress.
Okay, yeah.
She was 11 years old or something.
Yeah, for getting a lot of play at that time. So yeah, a lot of people mentioned it in the feedback as well. So clearly this is a good choice, but I didn't remember it well enough to really consider it for myself. But that said, my number 8 is along similar lines. It is probably the most famous film, at least in my growing up years. It came out of New Zealand not long after The Piano. It's Once Were Warriors, directed by Lee Tamahori. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And all I've got to say is
well done. Low.
It's New Zealand's favourite romantic comedy.
Good. The joke quotient has been made up because this is not a very funny film.
I've not seen it.
Whoa, haven't you?
Because I heard it was really, really harsh.
It is harsh.
And you know I'm a bitch, so I don't really like to watch that. So I haven't seen it. Please tell me about it.
Yeah, look, it's a story about a Maori family and the struggles. It would be like... I know it's not correct to equate the two, but be like following an Aboriginal family and the challenges they faced in 1994.
Yeah.
So it's a very similar kind of thing, and it's very confronting. Jake Damas is this beast. It's Timura Morrison, who we've seen in everything ever since.
He's Boba Fett.
Yeah, Jango Fett.
Jango Fett, sorry. And he just he beats the shit out of everything that gives him a problem, including his wife.
Wow. God.
So it's that kind of film, and there are some pretty tragic turns in it, if I can put it that way. And it's even at 20 years old or 19 years old, whenever I watched this, even then it was powerful for someone like me who didn't give a shit about shit like that back then. So now I can only imagine, and we'll see when Sam, how high he puts it on his list, but it's a powerful and it's a film that needs to be seen, really, I think.
Can I ask you, Sam? We hear when referring, we say Maori, right? But I think I heard you say Maori.
Maori.
Maori, is that
right,
how you
so
say it?
Totally
it
wrong.
Maori. Yeah, it's Maori. They've got Maori. A different way of pronouncing the vowels. So,
good. At the first, when you said it like casually before the show, it was the first time I've heard it said like that, so now I know how to say it. All right, sweet.
There you go.
Sam, do you want to add your 2 cents at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you've sort of covered it. It's just, like, it was a profound film that came out, and it sort of came out when I was 12 years old, and it was almost like essential viewing for every New Zealander ever. So there's not a single New Zealander who hasn't seen this, and the profound impact that it left on it. I mean, Lee Tamahori went on to have a Hollywood career. He directed one of the James Bond movies. I do believe he also got arrested while walking up a street dressed in drag for some reason in the middle of Hollywood. So, you know,
why did he get arrested?
I've got no idea. Yeah. I've got no idea. So, yeah, I mean, it launched his career, Timura Morrison's as well. He went on to have, like, relatively successful career. But, yeah, I mean, it's a profound film. Yeah.
Which Bond movie did he direct?
Oh.
Was it like Living Daylights or something?
No. It was after. Late Night. It was one of the Pierce Brosnan ones.
I think it was the worst Pierce Brosnan
one. It's Day Another Day. It was Day Another Day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Damn. All right.
All right, you're number 8?
Okay, my number 8. Guys, if you had a problem with Jojo Rabbit, you're really going to love this.
Oh, here we go.
But according to Wikipedia, it's a New Zealand film, so fuck you. It's Tintin.
Oh, fuck.
Adventures of Tintin, Secret of the Unicorn. Look, there's no fucking New Zealand movies, okay? There's 10. There's fucking 10, and I've got them all on this list. Right? Again, Wingnut Productions is the New Zealand...
Peter Jackson,
all right, who fucking co-produced this film. And what can I say? It was the only one I could find.
Well, you could... you could apologize. That's what you can do.
I think that's fine. I think this is technical. Okay, again, Wikipedia, as we all know, is knowledge. So
make it fast.
Well, I like the way you cherry pick which parts of Wikipedia you want to go with. It's 2019 American comic job. No, that doesn't count, but it does what it says.
Did you think it was going to be fair over here in my brain? No, I didn't think so. So, yeah, sure, Steven Spielberg directed it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was produced by Peter Jackson and his company.
Did he write it?
He did not at all. Oh, Steven?
Peter Jackson write it?
No.
This is a terrible fucking choice.
This is technically produced by a New Zealand company. What do you want, Willis?
Your Honor, what do you want? You are an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, there's nothing more New Zealand than a young Belgian explorer.
I'm sorry, even Wayne voting block this week. Obviously, Sam will win this week.
That's fine.
But if he beats
I'm tanking my vote, by the way. I'm tanking
everyone,
it.
Everyone, here's how you piss Paul off. Vote for me.
We'll know.
But I really don't expect you to.
Even the cousins should pause this week. I'm maybe going to make it up in 7-1. Maybe I shouldn't jump the gun.
I've been watching... Anyway, yes, go on. Look, I ran out of people, but this is technically correct. So,
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Sure it is.
A little bit of New Zealand production company does not a New Zealand film make. Sam, over to you if you're number 7 before this goes any further off the rails.
Yes, thank you. So this is where I put my sole Peter Jackson film, which is quite controversial in itself, and had a tough time deciding between two. There was two front runners for me, and I knew Paul was going to talk about one of the other ones, so I figured now's my chance to talk about the other one that I absolutely love, which is Heavenly Creatures from 1994, starring Kate Winslet and Melanie Lynskey, who everyone knows is the creepy neighbor from 2.5 Men, and it's basically a sort of psychological thriller slash period drama that was set in the 1950s about two teenage girls that share an incredibly intense bond between each other, so much so that their parents decide to split them because they're starting to think that something's maybe sapphic is a sort of occurring between them sort of thing. So, yeah, and then it's sort of, I don't want to spoil the movie for anyone, but it sort of tells their story, basically.
It's a film which demonstrates the talent that Peter Jackson has and how much he can wrest from a very small budget. I think that's a nice way of technically describing it, but there's a lot of heart to this movie, that relationship between the girls. Yeah. I didn't even realize that was Melanie Lynskey. Obviously, everyone knows it's Kate Winslet who went on to have the bigger career, but... Mm. I see Melanie Lynskey popping up in a lot of stuff these days, mostly on TV, like, I think if I'm remembering right, Castle Rock and things like that.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
So, yeah, very nice choice. And not at all controversial. Well done. My number 7 is very much a New Zealand film. It's Jason Lee Howden's first film. Lay? How would you say Lay?
Lee Howden.
It's called Deathgasm from 2015.
Now, what the fuck is Deathgasm?
Deathgasm is a film about... two boys, two teenagers, basically unwittingly release this evil entity into the world because they're deep into death metal, and it has all those sort of trappings. It's incredibly gory. It's like that perfect blend between horror and comedy, which another film or two on my list also sort of straddle. Mm. And this is what I think New Zealand does really well. Horror comedies, I think, is your bread and butter, Sam. I think if you look at Australian films, it's true crime, or not true crime, crime films. Crime films is kind of our niche that we get pretty right.
Oh, like, yeah.
Two Hands, yeah, Animal Two Hands, Kingdom, yeah, yeah. and stuff like that. Okay. Whereas I think New Zealand has the absolute monopoly between our two countries on horror comedies. And this is a really great example of that. A lot of fun, just over the top, ridiculous, all the rest of it. It's not fine art. I'm not going to pretend for a second, but it's such good fun. And if you haven't seen Deathgasm and you at all like horror comedies, seek it out.
Deathgasm. Okay. All right. Fan of yours,
I knew you were going to have it on your list, Paul, so I actually left it off just because of that. And I mean, that's what life in New Zealand's like. It's horrific. So, you know, we never know what the hell is going on. It's just life in New Zealand.
On the one hand, we've off mic heard some things about New Zealand which has attracted Wayne, but I'm pretty sure the things we're saying on mic, Wayne's never coming to visit you.
He'll get me there.
If you're wondering what the off-mic conversation was, legalizing marijuana.
Yes, I've heard that they're doing that. So.
We potentially are.
Best of luck.
All right, Wayne, you're number 7. Can you redeem yourself even slightly?
Well, my number 7, I'm pretty sure you're not going to have a problem with this one, is actually a movie that Paul had recommended to me on the fly during a show one time, and I always wondered about it. It's a comedy called The Breaker Upperers.
Ah, it's on my list.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, so I... was surprised
this
about
is funny.
This hits so many times so consistently with the humor, and the jokes that come in, they were like landing, man, and they were landing like a motherfucker. And I'm like, this is good. That girl is good. Those, you know, these there's like one scene where there's a Maori girl. No, she is a Maori girl, And she's talking with like the one of the leads, who is actually an Indian girl who's also Kiwi. And she's like, "You going out with this white bitch?" And she's like, "I'm not white." And then she's like, "Oh, this curry munch, you just called me white." It's hilarious. All this shit is hilarious, right? I'm like...
Now, we should throw this out at this point, because I think it'd be higher on his list, but also he interviewed the director of this film.
Tell me all about it, motherfucker!
Yes, she, the Indian girl and the other one, the white woman in it, basically.
I don't know her name, I'm sorry.
No, Jackie Van Beek and Madeline Sami, they were the two directors of this film, Breaker Upperers, and I've actually left it off my list purely because of just... I'm too close to it sort of thing. So it was rotating in and out of my 8, 9, 10. And I was like, no, this is a film that might feature one of these two guys' lists. So I figured I'd leave it out. But yeah.
Did those two girls direct it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. The two leads.
Fuck!
Wrote, directed it. It was like an original idea they came up with. And Jackie, the white woman, basically went to school with Taika Waititi, was really good mates with Jermaine Clement sort of thing. So through them, they sort of produced her film. Jackie also popped up on What We Do in the Shadows, which might pop up on your guys' lists. But
maybe.
Yeah, great interview with her. She was very...
That's cool.
She was
man.
Awesome. Yeah. Basically, because New Zealand's 2 degrees of separation, I just found her on Facebook, messaged her, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to do promo for your film that's coming out on Netflix?" She's like, "Yeah, sure, can't. When are we doing it?"
I hope she did.
She didn't use the C word. I'm exaggerating, but yeah.
No, it was great. It was a great interview as well. Really, really enjoyed that Thank one. You. So yeah. Yeah, I'd seen it already by the time you interviewed her, but it is a very funny film. And basically just follows, I don't know if you said it, Wayne, just follows two women whose job is to help people break up with other people.
Yeah.
Which is just a genius. Really, movie.
Really good. Yeah.
How many people are cowardly about that shit?
Yes, everyone.
Especially Wayne. I mean,
everyone.
All right, that's your 7. Over to Sam for his 6.
Yes, my number 6 is a film from 2002 that garnered a Oscar nomination for the lead actress. I am going with the film Whale Rider.
Okay, I've not seen this one. Lots of people picked this, though, man. Lots of people.
Yeah, lots of people picked
it. I've not seen it.
I'd feel disingenuous not to pick it because, I mean, it's a very much a seminal Kiwi film. It's about a like young girl that gets ditched by her dad after her mother and brother died during childbirth. So the dad basically leaves her with the granddad. And then the granddad feels like his iwi, which is his like Māori group, are on the decline and turning their back on their history and all that sort of stuff. So he's furiously trying to find the male heir who will become the next leader of the tribe and, you know, take them into the future and stuff like that, while constantly ignoring the fact that his daughter actually is the chosen one. So there's a lot of like sort of mystical moldiness around her that surrounds her. And for most of the film, she gives like a pretty good performance. And then there's this one scene where it's just like, okay, now we see why you got nominated for an Oscar. And blend in a sort of Hollywood connection. She went on to do one episode of The Walking Dead. And she's also one of the sand vipers from Dawn in Game of Thrones. She's one of those girls. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
The director of this film, who wrote and directed it, has also done the live action version of Mulan. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Nice. Like, a lot of the people that I'm talking about in these have gone on to have pretty reasonably successful Hollywood careers. So, yeah, she's directed that, which is obviously was meant to be released during COVID, but hasn't. So,
well, it might now be the first film that Hollywood releases, because Tenet's been pushed back. So that could be a huge feather in her cap. And fingers crossed.
Nikki Caro, yeah.
And look, I have to say, visually, that trailer is pretty stunning. So, hats off to her. And I might have to find this Whale Rider. Okay, very nice.
Nice. Cool.
My number 6 is straight back to you, Wayne, because that's where the Breaker Upper has fell for me.
Oh, good. Yep. Well, my number 6 is Brain Dead, or is it Dead Alive?
It's either one you want, but either way, it is.
Yeah.
No! Yes, I knew. Okay, all right. Let me tell you about this, folks. This movie came out in 1992, right? That means that Paul and I were in year 12, and they said to me, "You want to go see this fucking movie?" And I said, "What? Okay." And they said, "Yeah, it's like..." And it was at the Lumiere, which is a real like art house cinema. Was in our city. I go there with these guys. I have no idea what's going on. They're actually playing a joke on me, because I think either they had seen it before or they knew what it was about. And it was this movie with
the midnight screening.
Yeah, it was. Because that's
cinema experience I've ever had.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I see. It's basically about this young man's mother who's bitten by a Sumatran rat monkey. She gets sick and dies, which time she comes back to life, killing and eating dogs and nurses and friends and neighbors and shit. All right, that's basically the movie. But it has the most gross pus-related things in ever has that ever been filmed. I know. I'm just going, what are they doing? They're making it. There's blood in it. It's fucking disgusting.
It's always amazing.
It makes me puke just thinking about it, right?
And the very fact that Wayne has it on his list, I consider to be
vindication.
It was a small pool I was picking from, Polly. But having said that, I have a fond memory of A, telling this story, and B, these dickheads doing this to me, that it's become like a sort of like, I like it as a result, but it's gross, people. If you want to see, you don't want to see it. Well, you don't want to see it, but you got to gross. Yeah, you got to, it depends on your filter.
It's an incredible film and everyone should seek it out. It just nails it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice to have it on your list. Obviously, it's not on Sam's because he's already picked his Peter Jackson film, but I reckon it might have been Sam if you hadn't put that limitation on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those two would have definitely been on my list, yeah.
All right, so top halves now. Top number five, Sam.
Cool. My number five film is a 2004 film directed and written by Brad McGann. It is In My Father's Den, which is based on a New Zealand novel. So basically, it's about a photojournalist who's fled New Zealand when he was 17 years old, and he's come back with this British accent, which I think is because they basically cast a British person to be in the film. But yeah, he sort of comes back, and then basically his father's died, and so he tries to he wants to leave town as soon as possible, but he reconnects with his brother, and then he reconnects with this young girl who we sort of suspect might be his daughter, but he doesn't know that for a fact or not. And then the film sort of goes from like a sort of dramatic piece into a completely different genre for the second half. And I don't want to spoil it because I've got a feeling that someone out there might want to watch it. So
yeah. Okay. Sounds intriguing.
Give me a tale again.
In My Father's Den. Cool. The only name that you guys might recognize is Miranda Otto plays a very small role as his brother's wife.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Very nice.
So Sam, bringing the education as we thought he would.
That's why he's here.
On this particular topic. My number five. I'm hoping it will come up on Wayne's list. Because we're reviewing it the coming weekend in detail. It's Hunt for the Wilder People.
I did see it, Paul.
Oh, no.
But it's not on my fucking list.
There's going to be some arguments in the fucking film review this week.
What the fuck? Oh, people, I didn't care for this film. But Paul, I know it's controversial. Paul, why don't you tell us what it's about?
Hunt for the Wilder People follows a foster child, Ricky Baker. Look at Sam.
Sam has got his hands. He's got double face palm going on. And he's looking at the sky.
I'm assuming it's not because I picked it.
No, it's because of me. It's always because of me.
Yes.
Sam, would you like to qualify?
It's literally the only film that I'm like, if you don't like any films whatsoever, this will be the film that you will like. Oh my God. You know what I mean? It's impossible not to like this film.
It is impossible not to like it. Fuck Wayne. People. Fuck Wayne up his stupid ass.
Paul, tell us what it's about, then we'll talk about it.
So Ricky Baker, he is an orphan child who, through the New Zealand foster system, gets put into the care of Bella? Is that, I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Bella.
And Hector, yeah. And they are this sort of country sort of bumpkins, if you will, and she's adorable and lovely, and she's the one who really wanted a child. Hector had no interest whatsoever. He's just happy living off the land and doing his thing. And then a bit of a tragedy befalls, and it sends Hector and Ricky Baker off into the wilderness as they're being hunted by the authorities, and I won't give any more away than that, but it's Taika Waititi written and directed. It is charming AF. They're a great odd couple, and it's not just funny, but there are legitimately heartfelt moments. And so hooray for this film, and fuck you, Wayne. Yes. But we'll take this up at a later date.
Fucking Tintin on this list. What the fuck?
This is amazing. Tintin's on the fucking list. If this one was good enough to make the list, it would have gone on there. Trust me, I'm not happy about this.
Everyone hates me.
I understand. I'll just tell you one thing, guys. I had a similar experience with The Shawshank Redemption, where everyone for years had told me, you got to check this shit out. Then I see it, and I don't know if I'm in the wrong space, or I'm expecting too much, or I don't know what it is, but I'm like, what's the big deal with this movie, right? Years later, I saw Shawshank, and I kind of learned more, and I suspect it would be much the same with this one. I was just going, this is a bit fucking slow, man. This is a bit slow at the beginning here. I don't like that kid. I like him.
What?
No, I didn't like him for a while, and then I liked him when he became good.
Save it for the episode. Let's just move on. Disgraceful.
Sam's just in disbelief staring at us like going, what the fuck is with this dumb
What did I agree to?
What?
I haven't frozen. I've just fucking just, yeah. I'm just staring in disbelief.
We knew it was going to go this way, people. We knew it was going to go nasty.
All right, you're number five, Wayne.
Oh, man. I did What We Do in the Shadows for number five.
Yeah, low.
Low? Okay, little, yeah, of course. Because this is a movie about, like, vampires living together as though they were just, like, college, like, sort of roomie people, yep. stuff like that. Another one I came to very, very late. But I actually decided in this movie how much I like that Jermaine fellow.
Jermaine Clement.
From yeah.
Flight of the Conchords.
The Flight of the Conchords. I was fine with that. I liked him and stuff. But I don't know if I saw something in him in this movie. I was like, this guy's actually real funny. Like, just with his deadpanness. So, very cool. Big fan.
Great film. Love it to pieces. Yeah. Sam, you're obviously a What We Do in the Shadows fan.
Yep. Yeah, Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows are two of my favourite films that would probably be featured in the top 10 if I didn't have another one picked from that certain director. So there's a bit of a spoiler. But
we'll see which one it is that's coming up shortly. I can only think of two others.
Oh, it's obviously Thor and Ragnarok.
No. Not a New Zealand film. Yeah, yeah,
that's why I said it, motherfucker.
It's Jojo Rabbit.
It's good, thank God.
I was going to say that my next one is fucking Thor, and but just for a gag. No, I didn't.
Good. I would totally bought it because so far you've not fucking gone away from that.
Well, I don't think there was a music.
I think both Sam and I are waiting for a particular film, which we are prepared to both pull our pants down and shit on you for. So we'll see whether it gets there. Here.
Probably is, mate. Probably is.
Okay, Sam, you're number four.
I'm prepared. Once Warriors, so it's back to you guys. I mean, we've said enough about that. It's just a brilliant film.
And my number four is What We Do in the Shadows.
Ah. Well, mine...
very, very funny. We have to emphasize how funny this film is. And it spawned a TV series, which is almost as good, I have to say. Like, it's not quite in the same realm, but given that
surprisingly good, I will agree.
Now carried on two seasons, 10 episodes each at about, 20 minutes. That's a lot of time together. 400 minutes they've extended this joke. And I've got one episode to go in season two. And season two is very, very strong.
Is that all shot in New Zealand, that one as well, the TV show?
I don't know to be honest.
Canada. Yeah.
It's set in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Staten Island.
Oh, so then definitely shot in Canada. Yeah. Cool. Well, my number four is a movie that Paul only told me about recently. I didn't know. I didn't know it was a New Zealand film, but great.
Had it very high on his top 10 last year. I think it was your number one.
I didn't know it was Kiwi film.
Didn't know it was Kiwi film. So there you go. Once again, Wayne Stello and his research.
No, it's Wikipedia stops on 2019. Guns Akimbo is my movie. And it's got
Guns Akimbo is better than Hunt for the Wilder People, Sam.
Oh, Miles. Don't worry about it. Look at Sam's just pissed off now.
Smoke pissing out of my ears. Can't fucking hear anything.
It's white knuckled, fury.
The screen is just all red.
He can't talk. Yes.
Have another beer, Sam. So it's the only way you can do this show sometimes.
It's the only way we're getting through this one. Harry Potter is in this film, and he's a gamer, keyboard warrior, a-hole. They're living in a future where there's an online game where people kill each other, like a reality show. And he, being a keyboard warrior, gets tracked down by the guy he slams and trolls. And they pretty much knock him out and staple guns to his fucking hands, like with bolts and shit. And he has to go out and they put him in the game. Now, it's awesome. It's clearly low budget, but it's still great to look at. And I thought this was a wicked, like, Daniel Radcliffe choice. I think he's making cool-ass choices, this guy. Even though they go south and left and
right. Certainly all over the place. I think the film's fine. I think its strong points outweigh its less strong points.
The worst part of this movie is the bad guy, in my opinion. He's just a bit weird. Like, he's a bit like
there's some really terrible editing.
Is it terrible editing?
Yeah. Particularly the opening scene is awful. Like, I was like, And if you can make Samara Weaving unattractive, you are doing something wrong in life, which is also a problem I had with the film. And there's some really ridiculous. The script is terrible, but the style of it is pretty cool.
Yeah, the style is what I like. Yeah. But all I wanted was the style.
The Deathgasm director, by the way.
Deathgasm director, there you go. Nice. There you are.
Who didn't endear himself to the world when he started taking aim at online critics before this film came out.
Really?
Saying that driven one of another colleague of his to try and commit suicide or something. And so then the production company had to jump on and defend it and kind of go like, we're still going to release it because we still think it's a unique vision, but we don't really like what the director's had to say. He may have shot himself in the foot.
I was about to say that. He made an absolute fucking dick of himself.
Really?
Yeah.
The internet does not like that. No, okay.
So, anyway. All right. There you are. That's Wayne's number four.
Sam. My number three, I am going to say sorry to one of our podcasting pals, Machu, who keeps telling me that this film has to be number one. It's not going to be number one. I'm very sorry, Machu. It is the film Utu, which is also Quentin Tarantino's favourite New Zealand film from 1983.
Can you tell us about it, please? Please educate us. I'm sorry.
So it's set in the 1800s, and this will come as a surprise to absolutely no one in the world, but at that time, Whitey was furiously trying to colonize the world. And Whitey was furiously trying to colonize New Zealand while he was at it. So the English, while they were furiously trying to colonize, this is basically what the film sort of tells about, is that while an English force is slowly making its way down through the North Island of New Zealand, they've got a guy working for them who basically sort of rides ahead and discovers that the English have murdered his entire village. And so he declares an utu, which is Māori for revenge, on the English people. So he basically goes Django Unchained, he gets together a group of other Māori, and they just go full fucking mental on the white people.
Nice.
Really?
Sounds awesome.
It is fucking awesome.
1983, did you say?
So like all 1980s action movies, it's not, you know, the greatest production values and all that sort of stuff, but it's absolutely awesome. There's some fucking wicked scenes in it. There's a guy that welds together two double-barrel shotguns to make a four-barrel shotgun, and he goes around hunting people.
Well, that's winning. That is winning.
Yeah, absolutely winning. Like, it's just, it's a phenomenal film, and it's a film that when us, we sit down and watch it, and we're like, why doesn't New Zealand make more movies like this? And unfortunately, it's because we need to get Hollywood
remake
behind us.
This thing, man.
Yeah, yeah. We're just, it's
this is
just
ripe for a remake, surely.
Oh, absolutely ripe for a remake.
Can you spell it for me?
Another fun story about it is it's directed by Jeff Murphy, who directed another couple of honorable mentions, like Goodbye Pork Pie is another really awesome film. He directed The Quiet Place. Jeff Murphy almost had the greatest Hollywood career ever, where he basically went to Hollywood, sat down with Dino Laurentiis, and they started sort of pitching together Conan 3. And basically, they got most of the way through Conan 3, and then Jeff Murphy made the joke of, you know, starring, what are we going to call this one? Like, Conan the Librarian? And so,
yeah.
And anyway, like, Conan 3 fell apart, and then he basically got teamed up through 20th Century Fox with a pair of brothers who had just written a script called The Hunter about an alien that comes down to Earth and hunts a group of Marines. Now, if that's sounding familiar, that's right. He was the original director of Predator. And so anyway, him and the other two brothers put together the script. They're all ready to direct. And then they said, Arnie signed on to this film. And basically Arnie showed up. He was like, no fucking way in hell am I working with that director. He called me Arnie. He called me Conan the Librarian.
Yeah. Oh, shit,
I have
really?
Heard that story.
I've never heard that before.
I have.
So Jeff Murphy, shit like that.
Yeah, Jeff Murphy, here we go for a little bit of Scar Watch, went on to direct Under Siege 2 and other stupid shit movies like that.
Oh,
oh
no.
Shit.
Maybe it's a good thing that
it is a good thing
down.
Because yeah exactly
yeah.
But how do you spell utu?
Utu is just U-T-U.
Straightforward. There we are.
Seems like one worth looking up.
Absolutely, yep, definitely. I am keen AF for all sure. Right. My number three is another Peter Jackson joint. Get used to that statement because it's coming up more than once in as my list.
Of course, of course.
It is the Michael J. Fox star of The Frighteners.
Slightly. Yes.
Yeah, The Frighteners is just, it's a transition from Peter Jackson doing his low, quite low budget New Zealand stuff, along with Heavenly Creatures in this film, into being the Hollywood juggernaut that he became, one of the most successful directors of all time. And it's amazing. Like, yes, it's a little bit dated in the special effects, and you can see it now, somewhat 24 years after its release. Mm-hmm. Yes, 24 years after its release. But otherwise, the story is gold. It's so much fun, this movie.
Agree.
It's a little bloated, maybe, in terms of the time, 110 minutes. You could probably chop some aspects out of it and make it tighter and leaner and the like. But otherwise, this film is astoundingly entertaining. And
mostly
horror, but with a good dose of comedy. Again, that Kiwi sensibility.
Agreed. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Because when Michael J. Fox did this film, right? First of all, Paul and me saw this on a Laserdisc.
We did.
Right? That's how old we are. But I was at the time, first of all, this makes New Zealand look like an American town a lot.
In which case, high on Wayne's list.
No, but I'm just like, that's an impressive filmmaking feat. I mean, like, it's like, that's hard. And then, like, Michael J. Fox, I don't know, he had lots of misgivings about doing this because no one had ever heard of Peter Jackson from their side before. And he had to fly to New Zealand and do this for a few weeks and this and that. But
it was his last feature film role, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, like, lead. I think he's been in other bits and pieces, but he's never starred in another film ever since because of his Parkinson's.
Wow, maybe that was part of it. Yeah, but it's totally cool. I remember just seeing the cool, like, the sweep in of the ghosts. It's really, really cool. Great show.
Thank you very much. All right, your number three, sir.
My number three is, God, let's hope you don't have problems with this one. It's it's The Lovely Bones.
Oh, no.
It's a New Zealand film?
I think that's a New Zealand film, Sam.
No, but this is...
What? Hang on, produced by...
Written, directed,
and produced by Peter Jackson and Wingnut Films. So come on, man!
That's good. Yeah, that one is good enough for me. If it's got the creative force behind. Yeah. Off.
But it's also distributed by, like, you know, DreamWorks.
Tintin,
like,
is completely off the charts wrong.
I think Tintin's totally fine. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's fine.
No, you're good. You're
all right, listen, this guy, this movie here, right? I'd heard about the book years before because the chicks at work were talking about this book that they all read, and then they cried like a motherfucker reading this book. All of them cried. And I'm like, why? And they say, because it's about this brutally murdered sort of young girl who watches from heaven over her grief-stricken family, and the way that the book is written...
Uplifting.
Well, no, the way the book is written, it's just... what they told me was that the way it's written is that it's very... They said it's girly. They said it's very emotionally driven type stuff that actually makes you... Whatever. Now, I go watch the movie, right? We got Marky Mark's in it. Stanley Tucci is the bad guy. And Saoirse Ronan is
Ronan?
Saoirse Ronan, yeah. So she's the 14-year-old girl. Obviously, a while back.
I didn't even realize that was her. Okay.
Yeah, right? And so I'm watching the film. Now, it is tough. It's really tough at times, but not... It is filmed so skillfully that...
I don't know. That's a good point. Like, this is dark for you.
It is dark. But you know what? It is dark. It is dark. And this is why it's, like, really weird. Because the way that it's depicted, the way when she's in heaven or that place between heaven and earth or whatever, and she's freaking stuff out, the movie actually gives you an odd hope. Because she doesn't remember how she died. And she sees other kids in that heaven state that are all similarly still happy. And they actually run off to the sunset. And it's filmed really beautifully and stuff. And it sort of suggests to you that if horrible things happen to kids on earth, they can still be happy in this afterlife. It's actually oddly, not uplifting is the wrong word. Yeah, but you. Do you know what I mean? And that is a really complex thing to try and put through on a show, on a movie. So I was just dead impressed. And it's set in the 70s and I still didn't mind looking at it. So... Yeah, great. I hate people's clothes in the 70s. So, right. Yeah, there you go. Lovely Bones.
Yeah, I'm okay with that choice, Sam.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
All right, number two's in.
Okay, my number two came out in 2014. It is called The Dark Horse. It's directed by James Robertson and it stars Cliff Curtis. Cliff Curtis, people will recognize as either being an Iraqi in Three Kings or being a Mexican in Training Day or being a
I'm so glad you said that. I was going to make that same gag as soon as you mentioned his name, but you're there.
I know exactly who it is now, just as you said that.
Yes, he's played a cornucopia of different ethnicities and he finally got to play a Maori in Fear the Walking Dead, the TV show. So good on him.
Yeah, and as long as he lasted anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Walking Dead, right.
In this film, he plays a former New Zealand chess champion who's actually battling bipolar disorder. And, he's sort of like, he's having psychotic breaks and all that sort of stuff. And he basically gets released from a mental health facility to be taken care of by his brother. And his brother's like firmly well entrenched with the local gangs. And, he basically tries to find a way out and, you know, tries to... You know, find some support for himself, and he does that by joining up with a group of young kids that are all sort of, underprivileged children, and then basically teaching them about chess, and eventually hoping to take them to the National Chess Championship in New Zealand. So, you know, whereas America has like amazing underdog stories around sports like football or, you know, like basketball, like, you know, remember the Titans or Coach Carter, we do way more cooler sports than that. We do chess.
But obviously it made an impression. Sounds like it really, really was a great film.
It is, yeah. It's like all of these...
No
sort of,
pun intended.
Yeah, yeah. All of these top ones are definitely my like hard recommends. And it's one of those films that obviously it's a very tough watch. There's a lot of stuff in there that, similar to Once Were Warriors, is very brutal and very harrowing. But if you're in the mood for something like that, while at the same time an uplifting story that's actually based on a true story. So yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. Cool. Very nice. Thank you for that one, Sam. My number two... I'm not going to consider it cheap because I think it would have been a cheat to put all of them in here. But my number two is the Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Right.
Because if I had to put all three in here, which I actually honestly expected Wayne to do, so I'm really pleased.
I don't do that shit. You do that shit. I picked one of them.
I'll take that. If I had to pick one, it probably for me would be Fellowship, but I can live with probably any of them being in this particular
space. Not Return of the King.
Return of the King I love as well.
Yeah, fuck off.
I don't talk about Lord of the Rings anymore. If you're a cinemaphile,
Totally, if you're listening to this show, you definitely know Lord of the Rings.
19 years ago when these films started coming out, they were astoundingly good. Less than about the Hobbit follow-up series, which was just a cash grab, which even Peter Jackson acknowledged he wasn't ready for, nor did he really want to do the better. But these films stand the test of time. They are phenomenal.
Quick one, The Hobbit. Shit ass. All of them?
All of them.
Or just shit ass?
Yeah, all of them are 2.5 stars and lower.
What?
All of these films are 4 stars and above.
Yeah, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
the great thing is there's no bad answer about what's the best of these trilogy.
Mm.
People will swear that the Blue in the Face, Two Towers the best because of the battle and whatever. I found the middle of the Two Towers to be a bit boring, so it lowers it for me, but still 4 stars.
I like Two Towers, man. I like
still 4 stars for me. The other two, both 4.5-star films.
All right. So okay.
I think they're phenomenal.
I'm going to rewatch Return. Okay. Fair enough. My number two is Jurassic Park. I'm kidding, fuckers. It's fucking The Frighteners. Fuck both of you.
Oh, you got me good.
I was giving you a sec. I'm like, here it comes.
Yeah. Like, I looked up at the screen and Sam's reaction was mirroring mine in my head. I'm like,
what the fuck? No, no. It was only shot in New Zealand, you dickhead. I know.
Was it shot? I didn't know it was shot in New Zealand.
It was shot.
Fair enough.
No, it wasn't shot in New Zealand.
Yeah, it was, man. Them rolling ass hills in New Zealand.
I am sure. I can't wait. You're not either side of this equation.
It's Hawaii. So. I'm sure it's filmed in Hawaii. Like, sure,
we're
going to
madly now Google. Everyone's madly Googling. We'll pause to some elevated music.
Yep, Hawaii.
Shit. There is another film that fits the brief that you just said. There's what? Another film which I honestly what thought would be on your list. I'm going to tell
same.
You. Make sure when your number one is gone, Sam and I discussed it offline. So we'll see whether it comes up as your number one.
Okay.
There will be a mass walkout.
Good. I hope it happens.
All right, well, here it is then. We're going around for our number ones. Sam, what is your favorite, best New Zealander film?
Oh, do you want me to do my 10 free one?
Oh, yeah. Do your recap. It's not like I do this fucking show every week.
Yeah, whose podcast is this, Paul? So, number 10 was Out of the Blue. Number 9, Housebound. Number 8, The Piano. Number 7, Heavenly Creatures. Number 6, Whale Rider. Number 5, In My Father's Den. Number 4, Once Were Warriors. Number 3 is Utu. Number 2 is The Dark Horse. And my number 1 is, of course, a Taika Waititi film. It is the 2010 film Boy.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, okay. Yep.
It was honestly toss a coin between this and Hunt for the Wilder People. Both, I love both of them. But Boy is a 2010 comedy about an 11-year-old child who's just a massive Michael Jackson fan, growing up in the sort of mid-80s. And then he gets a chance to know his absentee criminal father, who's played by Taika Waititi, who has returned to try and basically find a bag of money that he stashed out in the field when the cops were arresting him. And it honestly did something that most New Zealand films hadn't done before, which was it basically went viral. So Taika Waititi in this film sort of calls himself the Crazy Horse. And like, that's the name of his gang. And they do this symbol like Crazy Horses. And so he put out a series of like gang related. Yeah, that was it. And he put out a series of gang related videos where he's like, you know, hey, here's how you become a crazy horse and do gang banging and all this other shit. And it's like the YouTube videos are fucking hilarious. And he did them all before the movie came out. So by the time you got to see the movie, you were so vested in it. And honestly, the first 10, 15 minutes are some of the funniest, funniest minutes of film ever created. And then, like Taika Waititi typically does in his films, it starts taking more of an emotional arc and then sort of plays out in ways you wouldn't expect. But yeah, a great film. Absolutely amazing. My favorite New Zealand film. So yeah, what can I say?
Wow, that is huge coming from you.
High praise indeed. Of course, Wayne should steer well clear because apparently Hunt for the Little People is not his. all right, very nice. Well done, Sam. My 10 through 1 then. 10, Meet the Feebles. 9, Bad Taste. 8, Once Were Warriors. 7, Deathgasm. 6, The Breaker Uprowers. 5, the aforementioned Hunt for the Wilder People. 4, What We Do in the Shadows. 3, The Frighteners. 2, The Lord of the Rings trilogy or Fellowship if you must. And my number 1 is another Peter Jackson film. Of course it is.
What's the price?
It's the one that Sam was alluding to. It's the one that you've dropped on your list because you had to. Brain Dead.
Fuck off. Number one.
The greatest horror splatter comedy ever made. Full stop. Punctuation point. Do not go past go. Do not collect your $200. This is as good as it will ever get.
You're right. So why can it be number one? It's a fucking horror. It's a horror comedy or whatever. Yeah, fuck that shit.
It is the finest 5-star horror comedy I can possibly recommend.
This is huge.
What you haven't done is you've emphasized the grossness enough. You haven't emphasized the creative goreness enough of this film.
Oh, I think I have, but go ahead.
The final 30 minutes of this film is, I should say, the best final act of a horror film ever made.
You, of course, speak of The Lawnmower.
The Lawnmower scene, the bit where the parts of the undead can still live. So the internal organs of one character get ripped out of it and they become sentient and start trying to kill people as well. It's a fucking incredible. It's insane how good this movie is. I can watch this movie at any point in time. And it stars no one you've ever seen ever again.
You know, you guys used to say, I kick ass for the Lord. They used to do that. They used to just bust that out like in public. I'm like, what the fuck?
Incredible scene as well. Lionel, even Lionel's girlfriend in the film, like, I've never seen her in anything ever. Ever since. Doesn't matter. This film surpasses acting.
Yeah.
This film surpasses everything to do with cinema except gore and practical effects.
Okay,
and
Peter Jackson, calm down there.
I'm sorry. I'm exceptionally hard for this film. Can I say?
As it is, yes.
I'm exceptionally hard for you right now, Paul. Well done.
That's my number one.
You can Skype while I walk out of the room.
It is Wayne's room, so I could leave some interesting DNA around.
That's fine. Ceiling's been painted a couple of times, I'm saying. So...
All right, Wayne, give us your recap. And
okay,
then,
can't
dear
wait.
God, let's see if this is the right one. I need to queue up everything in case it is Sam. I don't think it will be. I think Wayne has learned his lesson. Let's find out.
Yeah, we'll see. Number 10, Jojo Rabbit. Totally fine. Number 9. Number 9, Footfront Flats. Fine too. 8, Tintin. Perfect. 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 7, The Breaker Uppers. 6, Dead Alive, or Brain Dead, if you will. 5, What We Do in the Shadows. 4, Guns Akimbo. 3, The Lovely Bones. 2, The Frighteners. And number 1 is, of course, Lord of the Rings.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
Oh, thank God.
I went with Fellowship of the Flaps.
Oh, thank God.
So glad that was your choice.
Why? What did you guys
because
think?
Because off mic, Sam and I have discussed what we were worried you would pick, and that is The Last Samurai. Because it was shot,
was it shot in New Zealand?
In New Zealand.
Well,
we know how much you love that. It's your top. It's your favorite war film of all time.
That's right. Even I couldn't talk about the stately actor, New Zealand actor Tom Cruise. Like, you know, or the legend of New Zealand film, Edward Zwick.
All right, good. We're very, very glad to hear that.
Fair enough.
That is the case. All right, well, that's our list. Any honorable mentions, gentlemen, before we head to the listeners and their feedback for this week's topic?
I've got like a couple of... I've interviewed one of the girls that directed a film, Same But Different, True New Zealand Love Story. That's a lovely, charming little film that people should check out. The one I want to give the most, like, use my honorable mention for is a film called Tickled. Have you guys seen Tickled?
I've heard of it, but not seen it.
Okay, so...
Documentary, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a 2016 documentary starring... Well, not starring, but, you know, headed by David Farrier, who's basically a knockoff Louis Theroux. And he did a... well, he even calls himself a knockoff Louis Theroux on his Netflix series, Dark Tourist. And basically what David Farrier loves doing is just finding really weird, fucked up stories and investigating them. So in 2014 or 2015, not sure exact year, he found out about competitive tickling in America, where somebody was paying 4 or 5 buff dudes to tickle a guy who's chained to a bed. Who's like another young buff dude. Yeah. So he decides to go to America and investigate where the money's coming from, why these people are doing it, everything that goes on behind it. And I don't want to spoil anything. What? I know Justin from...
Well, why they're doing it is to get off, clearly.
It must be a fetish, right?
Yeah. You wait. Honestly, how it unravels,
really?
It goes in directions you will not believe. I know Justin from Sorry I Married a Movie Geek loves it, or has seen it and likes it. So yeah, it's something else. It is something else.
Tickled.
All right.
Tickled. Hey. And it's spelled T-I-C-K-L-D, so there's no E before the D.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Good to know. I would have not known that part. All right, thank you. My honorable mention is Killer Sofa, which is not called Killer Sofa in New Zealand.
My Lazy Boy, My Lover and Me. Is that the...
Okay, yeah, I think that's the one. It was out last year. It is a ridiculous film about a stalker who gets killed and his spirit gets infused in a hot chick's couch. And it tries to get her, not to kill her, because he loves her. He's obsessed with her. He kills everyone who gets in his way to get to her.
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong?
Hilarious.
Yeah, one of my mates from high school is actually in that film. Harley Neville, he's a guy that's similar to me. He's in that movie. He's in another movie that
you covered everyone.
Yeah. That's the thing. We covered another movie that he directed called So I Survived a Zombie Holocaust. That's the one. He's in that film
as
well.
I started watching that one last night.
I got
halfway through it. Who's your mate?
He's the main guy. He's the bald-headed sort of weedy sort of guy.
Yeah, the guy's really hairy as fuck.
Yes. That's him. Really good. Yeah, we were like quite good mates in high school, and then he's gone on to make these films. It's quite hilarious. Yeah.
That's incredible.
And Paul Cena, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't get to finish it last night. I was halfway through, I realized I was going to make my list, but it was fine. It's a pretty decent horror comedy. Yeah. And cool. I will say Guns Akimbo would be sort of around there at the bottom. I have vague memories of The Quiet Earth as being a really good film. You mentioned Jeff Murphy, I think, directed that.
Yep.
But yeah, I can't remember it well enough 30 plus years ago to put on this list. So it's one I want to rewatch, a sort of post-apocalyptic film from memory.
Yeah. Okay. The only other one is...
Are you fucking shitting me? I stand resolute, motherfucker. Honorable mentions? No, motherfucker, no! No pretension, motherfucker!
This is New Zealand porn. I watched on Pornhub last night.
I've never seen a New Zealand porn.
Don't. I'm fucking warning you, man.
All right, let's get away. Let's get off this topic before it goes too fast.
If you think those horrors are brutal.
And let's wrap up.
Fuck me, bro.
Once we're hornier.
Oh, good. There we go. Lord of the Rings.
Okay, let's stop. Let's get into the list of feedback to wrap up this week's show, because we could go forever as we are. Sam has a baby to attend to in the Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with our good friend, and to you as well, Sam, Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast. She had three films, obviously, Heavenly Creatures, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. Well done, Gidget, for sticking to one. And the world's fastest Indian, first mention
Anthony
of that
Hopkins,
one.
Yeah.
She also said, extra shout out to Braindead, love that movie. Yeah. Super Movie Bros Dave from that show said Black Sheep has to be on someone's list. Ooh. But it was not. Sheep zombies, that's frightening in a country where sheep outnumber people. Sam, response?
Yeah, it's correct. It's one of those films I haven't rewatched in quite some time. I remember it being pretty good, and the sheep thing is correct. At one point we had 70 million sheep and 3 million people, so
I don't know why it's funny, but it is. And he also said his other two are Brain Dead and What We Do in the Shadows. Well done, Dave. Dina Marie from the Twisted Philly podcast. Ooh. Lovely to hear from her. I'm going to leave off the obvious Lord of the Rings, because all three of those films would win.
Sure.
Number three, 30 Days of Night, which I didn't consider to be a New Zealand film because it's directed by David Slade, who's a Canadian, I think, and written by...
Well, apparently you don't know it all, Paul.
Sam, 30 Days of Night, is that a New Zealand film?
Because if so, it would have been not. Set in a Canadian town, I think, and it was filmed here. So
Alaskan.
It'd be like fucking Tintin in Alaska as well, I suppose, but...
Yeah, hey, okay. Deanna, I think it's a New Zealand film.
Number two, definitely, and number one are both definitely New Zealand films, The Frighteners and Heavenly Creatures. So some Peter Jackson love there. Brad from the Cinema Guys, forget Lord of the Rings. I'm going number three, Black Sheep. Number two, Whale Rider. There you are, Sam. And number one, Dead Alive / Brain Dead again. Fuck you, Wayne. The other host of the Retro Cinema Podcast, Angry Man, said most will go Lord of the Rings for good reason, but you damn well better have the world's fastest Indian in there.
Really?
I've watched it. It's a good film, but yeah, it's just not my top 10.
How does Anthony Hopkins play a Kiwi? How old does he do that?
Yeah, he actually does it pretty well. He
really?
Yeah,
oh, good.
He's like the most Kiwi old man I've ever seen in my life. He's just so like... I don't know, sort of like nerdy and like, oh, okay, is that how it is? Is it? Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, that might actually be cool to watch.
Yeah. All right. Duty from Shaken Not Nerd, another good friend to the show. The Two Towers, The Frighteners, and What We Do in the Shadows. His controversial opinion, though, was there are no better Australian films than those three films.
Ooh, let's have a listen. What were the
Two Towers, The Frighteners, and What We Do in the Shadows.
Well, would you say there's an Aussie film better than The Two Towers?
Yeah. What, Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, is that an Aussie film?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a shot here.
You do put it out. All right, good.
I'd also put right up there Two Hands. I think Two Hands is a great movie.
I love Two Hands.
Better than Fellowship?
No, Two Towers.
Oh, Two Towers.
Yeah. Not better than Fellowship. I would agree with that.
Yeah, all right.
Jules from New Zealand. I have to assume is Jules from your show, Sam.
Oh, yeah. She's been on an episode recently. Yep.
Just three. Brain Dead, Hunt for the Little People, and The Piano. Good. But she also said Boy, Once for Warriors, Goodbye Pork Pie, Sion's Wedding, Black Sheep, Scarfies, and Heavenly Creatures.
I just realized all of New Zealand hates me. well, for not liking World of People.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, I know. That's actually not. I don't know why I even mentioned it, really.
Still need good pod. Out of the blue. There you are, Sam. Once Warriors in my father's den. So there's a vote for you right there, sir. Fuzzy Dan from the also from Shaken Not Nerd had number three, Scarfies. Number two, Once Were Warriors. Number one, Boy.
Mm, cool. Yeah, Scarf-
what is Scarfies?
Scarfies is a 2000 film starring Taika Waititi, very young Taika Waititi, in which they, like, Scarfies are the people that go to Dunedin University. That's their, like, sort of their thing, because they're all wearing scarves because it's fucking cold as hell down there. And yeah, they basically move into a house and discover that there's a weed plantation in the basement level. And so the owner of the weed plantation comes back and stuff happens.
Ooh, Wayne's in.
You know what I should have said instead of Jurassic Park? I should have said Green Lantern.
Why the fuck?
Taika Waititi's in that as an actor.
He is.
He's like the second, like, he's friend.
Yeah, you did get us. Devin Grosset said, Lord of the Rings, if I have to pick it, would be Fellowship, Boy, and Eagle versus Shark. First mention of that particular one. Jermaine, did Taika Waititi direct that one, or was it someone else?
Yeah, Taika directed that one, yep.
Okay, Smiley Sawani, who is a New Zealander himself, he said, I'm going to steer clear of Taika Waititi's brilliance and delve elsewhere for some well-deserved Kiwi. Oh, shit, here we go.
What?
Te Karangai?
He just did that because he knew you were reading it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll send it to you in writing form. Number three, Whale Rider. Uplifting, stunning visual story of a family with modern-day Maori culture.
Yeah. Nice one.
The Piano, poetic, haltingly intense love story. And number one, The Quiet Earth. Ooh. Cult, post-apocalyptic masterpiece. Kristen Arcaro, Whale Rider, What We Do in the Shadows, Hunt for the Water People. These are from the Facebook listening community, by the way.
Boom.
Philip Minnie had Eagle vs. Shark, Bad Taste, and Housebound as his number one. Damn.
Hmm. Good work.
Adam Allure, What We Do in the Shadows, The Frighteners, and Fellowship of the Ring. Adam, a good patron to the show. Thank you, sir, for that. Can't argue with that list. Jonathan Lamb, all these are kind of horror themed, but What We Do in the Shadows, my favorite comedy in the last decade.
Mm.
Great choice. Housebound really surprised me with how good this gem of a horror movie was. And Brain Dead, aka Alive, most epic gore scene involving a gardening tool. Question mark. Take the question mark away, sir. Absolutely yes.
Mm.
And wrapping it up with our good friend, patron extraordinaire to the show, David Powell. Working on the assumption that Lord of the Rings and other big films that are more international productions will get all the mentions, I've stuck to fully New Zealand productions that actually feel Kiwi.
Like me, then.
Possibly.
I'll explain.
Warthog-faced
buffoon.
I know, you were joking. That's
nice
fine.
Nice one.
Three, Stickmen, best pool movie of all time.
Yeah, it was pool? Our answer to yep. Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. It was about a trio Ooh. Of pool players that basically trying to hustle their way through a competition that have run afoul of a local gang. And yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty fun. I should have rewatched that, actually.
Pool
yeah.
Men. All right.
Stickman,
sorry.
Yep. Number two, The Navigator. Vincent Ward's beautiful medieval time travel flick. I did watch this when I was a kid, didn't really get it. So it's no disrespect to the choice. Just I need to watch it again to really comment.
Mm-hmm.
And number one which Sam agrees with and many people have in the feedback, Heavenly Creatures.
Okay.
That's it for your feedback. Thank you so much to everyone who gets back to us. Sorry we can't get through it all. There were some great golden choices there. I think we have established 100% that Kiwi cinema, New Zealand cinema, is wonderful, despite both of your misgivings, including Sam, your own countrymen. There's some great films. Okay, yes, some of them.
All right, quit campaigning, Senator. All right,
Peter Jackson and Taika Waititi are maybe the proponents thereof.
Of course.
But, you know, we all had other films in there. And obviously Sam's list is the best list. Come on, let's face it. It's got other films.
I don't know. This was a useful Heaven Sam on here, man. This guy actually knows stuff. So thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you so much, Sam, for doing that. How do people find you? Tell the good listeners where to listen to your show.
Yeah, of course. I mean, first of all, I want to preface by saying thank you so much for having me on here to actually talk about New Zealand films. I mean, I was a little hard on New Zealand films at the start, and I think that's just because us Kiwis pride ourselves on trying to be humble, and that's because we're the most awesome motherfuckers on the planet. So, you know, that's basically what we need to do. But yeah, if you want to listen to our podcast, just search out Movie Reviews In, and you should be able to find Movie Reviews in 20 Qs. And yeah, come along, have a listen, and yeah, all that sort of fun stuff. I'm sure Paul will leave some links in the show notes or whatever. But
I sure will.
Yeah. And thanks to these guys for coming on my upcoming episode next week. So if you wanted to tune in next week and hear us talk some shit about Total Fucking Recall, then yeah, by all means, come on.
I can promise there are inappropriate answers to questions that weren't even asked. It really goes off the rails at one particular point. And for a change, it's not Wayne's fault.
Yeah, I was amazed that we made it through a whole episode without mentioning the three-breasted woman or Sharon Stone. It was phenomenal.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, you should go ahead and check that out next week.
Yeah, absolutely should. And this would normally be the part I throw to Wayne to say what's happening next week, but we actually haven't decided.
No, and I'm not sure.
We'll play a little loose here.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
But we'll work it out. We'll let you know via the social medias. So, indeed, how will we do that, Wayne? How do people get in contact with us?
Just Google The Countdown Podcast and find us everywhere, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. Check out ccradio.com.au for us and other great podcasts from Australia. And check out the Facebook list community. Link is in the show notes, and you can follow us on podbean.com as well. That is it for today. Thank you so much, Sam, for joining us for
you,
this
man.
Monumental podcast. First guest I think we've had in 2020. Thank you so much as we hopefully climb out of this COVID
crap
hole. And we'll catch you next time. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And these guys are fucking with you. Next week, they're releasing Reap. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And my name is Sam.
And that has been the soundboard. Unbelievable that Sam would throw out there. We will catch you next time.
See ya.
So my mum's best friend went off to see Lord of the Rings and basically walked in, sat down, and then noticed that two rows behind her were sealed off with like a little sort of restricted thing or whatever. And then she was sitting there, and then she noticed 5 minutes into the film that this incredibly large black man came walking in, sort of had a little look around, then walked out again. And then about a minute later, the same incredibly large black man came walking in with another incredibly large black man behind him. And then they sat down, and she noticed that there was a rather small fellow between them. And that small fellow was Tom Cruise, who was in town... Yeah, in town filming The Last Samurai, and went to watch Lord of the Rings at the local movie theater. And so my mum's best friend kept turning around and just like kept staring at him. And so Tom Cruise did what Tom Cruise would be fucking known to do later, which is just being a complete jackass, looked at my mum's best friend and said, "The screen's that way."
Holy shit, what a cunt!
Yeah.
I'm editing that out, putting it in as the story at the end, by the way, of this episode.
Oh, damn. Oh,
really? That's fucked. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, he came by and he said, "Hi, how are you?" He said, "Fuck off, that's a prick."
Yeah, he did.
He just, yeah. And then 5 minutes before that's the film finished, one of the ushers Tom came Cruise in, got him, man. And then walked them out of there. So, yeah, what a dick.
Thrill me.
Taika Waititi is apparently the most loveliest man. Stacey's met him and other
mates. Oh, really?
Fuck. Yeah, Stacey went to a screening of Hunt for the Wilder People while she was working over in Sydney, and they basically did a Q&A sort of thing. And so she met Sam Neill, who was fucking drunk out of his head, and went up to her and was just like, he was like, "Oh, I've got a good recommendation for you." And Stacey was like, "Oh, really?" He was like, apparently blurry drunk. And then Taika came out, and as I said, if there's a Q&A, can you please ask him if I can be an extra in Thor Ragnarok? So Stacey basically didn't ask him during the Q&A, but went up to him at the end of the night and was like, "Hi," and he's like, "Hey, Kilda Barry, how's it going?" And all this other shit. And Stacey was like, My husband's like the biggest Marvel fan. Can he be in your movie?" And he gave her the casting director's card and said, "Yeah, sweet, we're gonna need extras. What if he wants to come to Brisbane and be in it, just give this lady an email or whatever and we'll get him in the film." And I was just
come
like,
back, hunt!
I should have. I don't know why I fucking didn't. I can't remember why I didn't, but yeah.
Dude!
Oh, Sam.
I know. I could have been an extra in Thor Ragnarok. I'm pissed off, but he's doing...
We would have had a GoFundMe or something, man.
Yeah.
Get Sam to be in here.
Yeah. I think I was saving for our wedding at the time, and I didn't have any leave.
No, fuck that shit.
Lame.
Yeah, that's fucking lame. I was fucking furious, Jesus. Man. Yeah, what a dick.